Hello and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. I am your host, James Sutherland, and with me is producer extraordinaire Jason Hewlett.
Oh, you added extraordinaire to the title.
I did that a couple episodes ago, too, and I got a lot of positive feedback.
From me. Yeah.
A lot of positive feedback, so, you know, I figured I'd stick with it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. That's
really good. I'll just make this sound even that much better in post.
So, my producer extraordinaire here, Jason. So, speaking of Jason, you are recently recovering from, you know, doing something I've told you is really unhealthy.
Running.
I know a future guest is going to explain to us why it's very healthy, but yeah, running.
Yeah, it was, and I've been running. I used to run the Daily News Boogie the Bridge. You know, I've been running for a long time. I'd say like 15 years, more so than 15 years.
For all our international listeners, the Boogie the Bridge isn't some kind of weird illness. It's a charity run event that the city carries on. So
yeah, continue. So to carry that. It's a marathon. It's basically a marathon run, much like the Sun Run in Vancouver or the New York Marathon or any of these big
and
runs.
Where's that one?
In New York.
Oh, right.
Right. So I kept up with the running. But where I kind of failed with the running is I was taught a very specific method of doing it by Joe Berry, who we're going to have on in the weeks ahead, which is how to sustain yourself as a runner without injury. So it's interval running. So you run for so many minutes, take a minute off. You do that. Your interval's been like 10 years.
Once every 10 years or so, and that's usually running to the car when it's raining.
Exactly, like it was this morning.
Yeah.
But I kind of, for some reason, I just lost that habit after doing the boogie, and I just kind of run. And so I was running the other week because I stopped running twice. I used to run two to three times a week, and I cut it down to one just because of joint injury, which we're also talking about. But my hamstring went.
Where'd it go?
It just stopped working for running, and I had to stop. And it turned out when you and I were doing recovery, we found it's a whole pelvic out of alignment thing. So I just got some chiropractic work done by Stephen Karpuk, who's been a guest.
Yeah.
And things are starting to feel much better. But it was like 2.5 weeks of pain.
And what else besides chiropractic did you do?
Stretch. Well, I took the rest days first that you and I talked about in a previous episode. I did the stretching.
Mm-hmm.
I did sort of, you and I would train a bit.
Yep.
Because you could do some core work and balance work to try and, you know, to strengthen that. And that was kind of the big, and I smoked some weed, which helped with the pain, and did anti-inflammatories and hot heat treatment. Like I did pretty much everything you're supposed to do that finally came down to actually fixing the problem, which was the pelvis being out of alignment, which caused the hamstring to go and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, so we're talking coming back from injuries on this, and we've kind of touched on it before, but this is sort of how to sustain your training while injured.
Well, yeah, because I think when we've touched on it before, that was in episodes where we led up with Stephen Karpuk interview, the chiropractor, and then the Matt McDonald massage therapist interview, and that sort of thing, where it was like, well, when you're injured, make sure you get this professional help from these medical practitioners. So yeah, so with your injury, that was, you know, I remember you texting me, and I recalling saying to you that it was your fault for running.
Yep.
But yeah, then we were still able to work together, and I was still able to help with some stretching and some strengthening and stuff as well. And that's, I really think, as we were talking about off air, that's the key to rehabbing injuries. Again, whether it's comes from running or biking or working out in the gym or something at work or playing with your kids or any sort of incident, again, with the weather turning how it is, you know, slip and falls and that sort of thing. Like a lot of people can tweak or injure themselves without even realizing it at first, and then other times you instantly realize it when you're running or lifting or doing whatever, that something is very wrong. And it goes back to what we've talked about before, listening to the body. And then so we talked about that aspect of it, but now today we're going to go delve a little deeper into, yes, you're injured, yes, there's some a problem going on, but how can you train around it?
Because you don't want to stop training for 6 weeks to 8 weeks. Like sometimes you're told in the medical profession, I think I've shared this story before, when I had a mountain bike crash and, you know, ripped my arm open and messed up my ankle really bad. I took a week off from training of boxing, but then I was back and Sifu had me just doing what I could do and securing the injury so that you wouldn't injure it further, but you'd almost could strengthen it at the same time while doing rehab and not stopping.
Right.
And I was back to full on training within 3 weeks instead of the 8 weeks I was told by the doctor.
Well, and that's that's a very good description of what to do, because too many people will just, I'm hurt, so I guess I can't go to the gym, you know, we've talked about the other people that push it too hard and hurt themselves more, but for everybody else that does listen to their body and does start to take some time off, and some injuries require more actual time away than others, but a lot of them, there is other things you can do, unless you've torn every muscle in your back or totally dislocated your pelvis or something like that, where you're completely unable to move much.
Broke bones.
Then, you can't repair a broken forearm by working out. You can't expedite healing in any way. But muscle strains or sprains or tears or, you know, bruises from, you know, my daughter recently got a big bruise on her elbow from diving on the volleyball court.
That'll do it.
Yeah. And, you know, she had knee pads, but obviously she needed elbow pads. And rehabbing from that sort of stuff and knowing that, okay, if I do this the right way, which is the key, like your Sifu secured your injuries and made sure those were taken care of, and then you were still able to continue to train. And when you tweaked your hamstring recently, we were still able to train. We just worked around it.
Yeah.
But having someone with the knowledge and the understanding of how to work around it to make sure we're not amplifying the injury, or you're not going to put yourself out even longer or do further damage, like, that's a very important factor that too many people think, oh, well, I know when it hurts when I do this movement here, so I'm good. I can do everything else. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Yes.
Right? Because I have a client who has a shoulder injury, nothing major. He just woke up and went to move his arm and kind of had a tweak in the rotator cuff area. And he's like, he came in and he's like, yeah, you know, when I push out forward direct at shoulder level, it hurts a bit. So, but every other movement feels fine. And I said, he's like, so we can, you know, still do anything just long enough doing like a push-up type movement. And I said, well, there's a lot of things we won't do. If that movement hurts, you know, as a professional, I understand the muscle groups associated and with that movement, that just because that movement hurts and you don't think anything else does, activating those muscles to move in a similar direction to that, again, push-up type motion is going to make it aggravate it and make it worse. Even if it's a narrower, wider positioning, it still is in danger of causing more discomfort.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, like, finding with this hamstring, like, kind of once we got the right sort of stretching routine down, that's something you can incorporate so you can start working out again, doing other exercises, you know, like, you know, deadlifts, the way we do them requires no weight, so we can get away with stuff like that. And even, like, you know, working your arm and back, but then incorporating that stretching component at the end of every workout and at the beginning of every workout to make sure you're loosened up on both ends can make a huge difference.
Yeah, and, you know, there's tons of research out there, and you'll, if you scroll through Instagram or any of those other social media sites, there's some people that feel stretching is like the be-all and end-all of prior to and after workouts, and some people that feel that active stretching is better, and some people feel that no stretching is better. Because, again, this goes back to the same sort of stuff we talked about before with respects to diet and listening to what, oh, my buddy did this diet or did that thing and it worked great for them, so I'm going to do it because it'll work great for me because it worked good for them. Everybody's body reacts differently to different things. So stretching is never necessarily bad, but stretching wrong is bad.
And there's a lot of wrong ways to stretch where you can hurt yourself while stretching.
Right, because some people think, okay, I'm just going to go to the gym, stretch to warm up. Well, all of those muscles are technically, if you want to get into it, they're cold, if you want to go layman's terms. So you just start stretching them, they're going to get angry.
Yep.
They got to get a little warmed up first. That's why you see so many people on cardio type equipment or doing walking lunges with no weights or running up and down some stairs at a gym or, you know, doing a full body body weight workout, you know, going through some push-ups and some crunches and then starting to stretch, because you want to warm the body up and you want to get those muscles, get the blood flow to them so that they're working properly. And then if you want to stretch, if you need to stretch because you have an injury or you are concerned about potentially having an injury from a certain area from a previous one or something, then that's a good time to stretch. But I have found active type stretching is usually overall the most beneficial.
So what would be active type stretching for the layman?
So it's not like sitting in, like we did in when we were in elementary school, and you sit there and you pull the one leg, you're sitting on your butt, and you pull the one leg into your inner thigh and you stretch out towards the extended leg's foot and up and down and hold it and breathe. And, you know, that can, you know, because that's a big, good hamstring stretch, but it's a bad hamstring stretch if you try to force it too far or you do it when it's cold. So active stretching is similar to like what I was saying with like a walking lunge.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have extra weight. You're not trying to really push it and, you know, do 100 of them. you're just taking that time to bounce a little bit, slowly move up and down, take the next step, slowly move up and down, stretch the arms out to your side or over your head. So you're moving a bit while you're doing it, not extra weight. You're not holding dumbbells or a weighted vest or anything like that. Just getting them, all the muscles moving and in multiple directions, right? Because if you're going to do a leg day and you kind of sit down and do that stretch I just mentioned, and you stretch to one side and you stretch to the other side and yeah, okay, I'm good to go. But you kind of stretch three muscles in your hamstring, maybe doing that. And then you go and do a sumo leg press. You're not, you know, there's a...
You're not getting any benefit out of the stretch.
Your hips are moving in completely different directions and range of motion than a standard squat or a standard leg press or whatever. So if you know what your workout is going to entail that day, stretch those muscles according to how that workout is going to be. And post-workout, stretch those muscles in the directions they just were used. There's no sense doing push-ups to warm up if you're doing a leg day.
No, not at all.
Right? It's still good to get the blood flowing and all that, but you don't do a bunch of push-ups and think, okay, my body's ready now. Well, because your legs aren't ready yet. Right? So full range motion stretching where you're actively doing things as opposed to stagnant sitting there holding it, 10 count and slowly coming back up. That can be good for certain purposes, but if you know you're going to have a good, solid, intense workout, or if you're doing some functional training like a lot of stuff we do, where it's not just sitting there doing push-ups or sitting there, you know, I'm making you use most of your body or a lot of the body for every exercise in some way, shape, or form. So if you're going to have workouts like that, your warm-up and your stretching should mirror that.
So what would be, and we've kind of done this, at least from home, at least when we would train in the gym, you'd always get me like on an elliptical or something like that for about 10 minutes before, because that worked everything to get it loose. Once we switched to home, it'd be a mix of, like, I remember push-ups, running up and down stairs, and maybe like some quick laps around the yard.
Yeah.
Because that would kind of warm everything up.
Because it's kind of, same sort of thing. You're moving the shoulders, you're moving the chest, you're moving your back muscles in the push-ups. Plus, you're getting your core engaged when you're doing the push-ups. And then the same thing with, you know, stairs, you're moving the hips in different directions and you're running up and down or jogging or whatever. Not running, because that's
bad.
Running's bad.
Look where it put us. Look where it put us.
Yeah, yeah. So, so it's, there's a tons of different ways you can do. But like I said, the main thing is if you know what your workout's going to entail, which most people do when they go to the gym, whether they're going with a trainer, who hopefully will guide you the right way in that method, or, you know, you just know, okay, I'm doing shoulders and back today, then, you know, stretching your legs is still fine, because some of those exercises you're going to need to use your legs, but making sure you're moving through the range of motions that you're going to do for your workout prior to, during your stretching or during your active workout or active warm-up, sorry.
Now, there's a, like you were talking a bit about stretching, and one thing that generally comes up is everyone says, in order to prevent injury, you should always stretch after. Do you think that's legit, or is it some kind of cool down just needed?
A cool down is good, I think. Again, that, you know, you'll see tons of different research on that. People who, we tested 100 people and 50 did this and 50 did that. And, the people that didn't stretch afterwards suffered more injuries. Well, just because there's 100 people that all did the same thing, everybody's body, again, reacts to it differently. I'm not a big stretcher myself after my workouts. And I don't usually have significant pain or discomfort or delayed onset muscle soreness or anything like that. Very often, unless I've tried a lot of new movements. So on those days when, because I'm the type of guy that when I go to the gym, if I've seen some interesting or things on Instagram or whatever, or I'm coming up with my own things and I try something in a completely different range of motion than I'm used to doing, then yes, I'm going to either finish that set. That's another thing I like to do, is if it's done, if I'm doing something new and different and using muscles in a direction or a motion that I'm not used to, then at the end, I'll do the similar motion or action with little or no weight.
Okay.
And just do an extra set so that it's just kind of like an extra stretching set right at the end of that set, and then I can go on and do other things. So you, for, like, I think for most people, you have to kind of, it's a hit and miss, and you got to try stretching before, stretching after, stretching during, even, like I said, after each set of new, or if you've just gone really heavy on a set and you're like, oh my goodness, that was, you know, I only did my 3 reps on that, and, you know, maybe you should stretch a little bit right after, do another set with little or no weight, and just, you know, kind of thank your muscles for supporting you during that.
Exactly.
Right? So trying different things and finding out what works best for you, because out of all my clients I've had over the years I've been doing this, none of them react the same way to stretching. So again, it's similar to diets or supplements. You have to do what's best for you, and you have to try things. And if you find something and one method is working great, go continue. Or if you run out of options, you're like, I'm not sure what I should do next, that's when you consult
yeah.
a trainer, or you know, someone that you know has a deep knowledge of understanding how the body works, and they can help walk you through some other options.
Do you think, say an injury like mine that I did with running, now I know you don't support running.
I support running, I just don't support doing it myself.
Yeah, can someone, basically, even with the knees, could someone kind of, once they recover, work their way back into a sport like that after they've hurt themselves severely? Like,
oh yeah, 1,000%. You know, if that's something you want to do, I recall a text message from you that I can post even saying, that's it, I'm done running.
I'm
never running again. But yes, for regular people, like, yeah, even when a couple years ago when I hadn't done a lot of running type activity and I played flag football with our gym team, I remember after the first day, and you know, I was a quarterback, so I'm running around all over the place like an idiot. And the next day I woke up and decided I didn't want to move that day. You know, and I was a trainer, I'd been training, I was in good shape, but all my muscles were moving and being worked in directions that they weren't used to.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I've had 2 knee surgeries and a shoulder surgery prior to that. So that was the hardest workout they had had in such a varied position since that time. So yes, you can get back to it, but again, it's getting back to it smart.
Yeah.
So if you've just injured yourself doing something and you want to get back to it, if you don't have the depth of knowledge, again, that's what it all boils down to. If you don't have the depth of knowledge to understand, okay, I tore my rotator cuff, but I want to get back to playing tennis or throwing a baseball or whatever it might be, then find people that do.
Yeah.
Get that support network in place to make sure that you can get back to where you were. You know, a guy like Bo Jackson blew out his hip and had to have an artificial hip when he was in his early 30s. And he went back and was the first player in Major League Baseball history to play with an artificial hip, never mind hit a home run yeah. with an artificial hip.
Exactly, right?
So yeah, you can get back to it, but he didn't just do it himself, right? So even a professional athlete like that, who was a freak of nature, still needed help and guidance and support to get where he wanted to go. So any Joe Schmo on the street wants to get back into running or get back into tennis or whatever they're doing, find that support network of knowledgeable people and professionals that can help guide you and make sure you're doing the right things and not the wrong things.
Well, I think, you know, and we're probably getting close to wrapping it up, but it kind of, there's been a theme, and we've talked about it a lot, like when we were talking about, you know, why you train six days a week. Well, you know, because you've seen The Rock do it, etc. Any kind of real exercise or sport, you can't just leap into. Like, you can't just, most people wake up to, I'm going to start running, and they just start running. They don't know the kind of shoes to buy. They don't know how to really get in. They just go hard because I'm going to run and do it hard. You know, mountain biking, same thing. I'm just going to buy a bike and do downhill biking. Never mind, you bought a hardtail and you shouldn't be doing jumps because you're going to kill yourself. Know this from experience. You know, or they decide they're going to start, you know, boxing. So they find a buddy and they get in the ring and just start beating the crap out of each other. Like, all of these, any kind of training for anything, I think requires doing it with someone with knowledge. You know, or even if you don't want to hire someone, finding someone who's, like you say, done it before and talking to them about, well, what would you recommend just to get started?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Because, you know, that's why there are people like myself and thousands of other trainers out there. And that's why there are massage therapists and chiropractors and all that. You can't just decide, hey, well, I want to be a chiropractor. So, hey, come here, let me crack your neck and see how that works for you. Right? Because these people, these professionals, all of us, we'd have training and we work hard at understanding and learning about the body in this case and how it works. And, you know, like, I don't know, I couldn't, with my base of knowledge, I couldn't go and be a chiropractor tomorrow. But if I wanted to, I could go to school and I'd have a leg up on a new person who's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to be a chiropractor because I understand how the body works and functions. And, you know, I've seen a chiropractor a whole lot because I'm a train wreck. But but that's what I mean is that's, yeah, that's what you said, that basis of understanding, whether it's a friend or a professional, as long as that friend isn't like, yeah, sure, I can help you out.
Yeah.
And they've never done what you're doing before. Right. So, yeah, having those knowledgeable, very knowledgeable friends or professionals in your life when you're trying to rehab an injury, again, whether it's from a sport or from carrying your kid around. A lot of women I found have hip issues, mm-hmm. not necessarily from giving birth all the time, but from walking around holding that kid on their hip for a year, year and a half, 2 years.
That's going to do something to your body.
It throws their lumbar spine out or and their shoulder out because of the odd positioning. Right now, everyone that's listening to this is suddenly going, what? How do you mean? And they're mimicking holding a kid on their hip.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you feel your lumbar spine bending at a little bit of an angle and your shoulder is being pulled down out of its socket. And right? So there's all these little things that I point out to clients who are like, oh, I have this problem. We talk it through and you can trace it back that maybe this injury happened 5 years ago and you just didn't even realize it because, again, with it, if it's something with respect to a kid, we just, as parents, we just push it and like, oh,
you have no choice.
We'll be fine. I'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
And then you kind of forget and then you're like, oh, my hip's sore, my back's sore, my shoulder's sore, but I haven't actually done anything physical to hurt myself. Well, when you have kids, everything you do ends up hurting you later on. So again, that all cycles back to listening to your body and then getting the proper help when you need it.
Awesome. Well, I guess that wraps up another episode
of the Anatomic Fitness Podcast.
It does.
And you know what? You can find me at James Suds on Instagram or at Anatomic Fitness Training and Coaching on Facebook, like many of you have. So thank you all to reaching out. I notice I look at the screen when I say that, like there's an audience out there. But you yes. Put a picture of the audience.
A bunch of
there.
People.
Yeah, on the screen, and then I'll feel more realistic. So anyway, thank you for listening to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast, and we'll be back next week with more exciting information for you. Thank you. We'll be right back.